a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. While he had talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him, what to him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. May God bless our reading together, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. That made me think, as we were taken to heaven and we were told that the mighty spirits there are gathered around the throne, and they cry, holy, 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 to their Lord. And it says that He, the Lord, is their blessedness. So the blessedness of the mighty spirits, the mighty angels, is the Lord Himself. And it made me just think of my own personal life and what do I consider my blessing. You know, a lot of times in life, as we go through life, we focus on all the temporal things. And our focus is on those things, and those are the things that we identify blessings through. So we do it in monetary things, things of value that Christ describes as that which will just corrupt, it will rust, it will decay. And then we actually identify those items as blessings from God. And the mighty spirits it says that their blessedness is the Lord. And so we have to consider then, if I identify a blessing or my blessedness as something that I can attain, but what if another child of God cannot attain those things? What is his blessedness? So then he has to rely upon those things which I don't value or don't want any part of. What if I lose my ability to use my legs or my arms or my mouth? What if I'm unable to work and to produce for myself, my family, and those who are in need? So that means I am robbed of blessings? Is the Lord that nothing to me that the blessings that I consider are mine are only the things that give me pleasure? And we see, and so the hymn took me there, and I'm just sharing that with all of us here. Because oftentimes we do put our focus on the things that we can identify and see with our physical eyes and touch and feel with our senses and so on. And in this chapter that we have read, dear ones, we see the words of our Lord, who gives a parable that is an absolute eye-opener. But he also speaks to the scribes and the Pharisees here, who were asking him that he would give them a sign. That they would see a sign from him. And He tells them that an evil and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign. There's no sign that will be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. We know that Jonah was a prophet. Jonah was a prophet who was being called to go to an Assyrian city, a mighty nation, who all nations feared them. They took what they wanted. They destroyed what they wanted. They took captive. They did as they wanted. They were mighty, a mighty nation. And Nineveh was a great city. And Jonah was asked to go preach to that city. And it was something that he couldn't understand, that he was to go to preach to a city to try to convert a city that is in opposition to what he thought. How could God look upon an Assyrian people who are so bloodthirsty and so power hungry? How could God show them mercy? He didn't understand it. And so he thought in 40 days, if he's got 40 days, he's going to just evade God for 40 days. He's going to run from him. And then if he doesn't go preach in that city's going to fall. And that's what he wanted to see. And so he tried to run. We know the story very well from our childhood. And it says that we know that Jonah was, he went to, he thought he would even give himself, throw me into the deep, he tells those on the boat with him. But he did not want to go to preach to a city who was his enemy, that he felt mercy and compassion did not belong to. He deserved it. And Israel deserved it in his eyes, but not that nation. And he knew that because of the lack of worship of his nation, of Israel, who had turned against their God, that they were also to be doomed. And it was probably going to be the Assyrian nation that was going to take them over. And so he didn't want to see them thriving. So he didn't want to go. And later we know that he went, but he didn't go to preach the gospel. He was not instructed to preach the gospel. He was instructed to preach that in 40 days, this city will be destroyed and everyone in it. Estimated 1 million people are going to be destroyed. When he had nowhere to run, when he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, and he was spit out, now he had experienced hell itself. And even then, he did not want to, he wasn't broken enough. He still did not want to see that city repent. What he experienced, it did not break him. He obeyed, but he wasn't broken. Because we know when he went through the streets and he's preaching that in 40 days, this city will be destroyed, people started to listen. Word spread fast. And he goes and perches himself up to watch this city get destroyed. But Nineveh, a nation that did not know God, heard of the destruction that was coming, judgment that was coming upon them, the justice of a holy God, as we sang, holy, holy, holy. The mighty spirits are crying. And this is the justice of one who is holy was going to be poured out upon this city. And they heard about it, and they repented. And every child and every woman and man was spared. And Jonah couldn't believe it. But Jesus is saying that the men of Nineveh will rise in judgment and condemn this generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And that was Jonah, who was preaching. He says, a mightier than Jonah is here. God himself is here. The Lord Jesus is here and he's preaching. And they refuse to believe. And he says the same thing about the queen of the south that will rise in judgment, who heard of the wisdom of Solomon. And when she came and when she heard, she says, the half has not been told of me. Because she heard, in his wisdom was the Lord himself. And she goes, I didn't hear the half of what I heard when I came and I saw and I listened. And it says, a far greater than Solomon is here. The Lord himself is here. And then he gives us a parable that explains to us, dear ones, what reformation, I guess we could use that word, looks like. These Jews, the nation, who had idolatry in their hearts for I don't know how many years, finally, in the Babylonian captivity, they are healed of their idolatries. But they filled their hearts, as it tells us here, an unclean spirit has gone out of a man. The Jews had thought that by not being idolatrous, by not having these gods and this and the things that they were worshiping in, that they could replace that with their theories on what religion is, adding to the law what they thought, what they wanted to add, filled their hearts with formalities. Basically, I guess is what we could say. They filled their hearts with formalities. He's speaking to those who were teachers of the law. He says he's speaking to the scribes. Those were the teachers of the law who had replaced idolatry in their heart with their own theology. And they never gave their hearts to the Lord. In the prayer, we prayed together that the love of Christ would fill our hearts. Dear ones, when we think of, let's consider this parable in light of our own lives. If a man stops a sin, that does not make him holy. If a man stops cussing, and he cussed all the time, that doesn't make him holy. We need to be filled with the love of Christ. And the Jews did not give their heart to the Lord. And the evil spirit says, I will return into my house from when I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. This doesn't speak about someone who is born again and then falls into sin. And now he will receive seven times worse punishment. Not at all. It's speaking about those who reform their lives to fit into a church, into a system, into a feel-good religion, who don't know who Jesus is. And dear ones, the words of our Lord ought to frighten us into listening to who he is. When he says there is going to come a day when all of you will come to judgment. And I will say, I never knew you. And to those, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. Shouldn't that cause us to stop and to think, am I the one that will hear those words? And I need to be assured that I will not hear those words. I need to have that blessed assurance that can be found in Christ when he fills my heart. I can't point to my, well, I don't cuss anymore, and I don't get drunk anymore, and I don't do this anymore, and that's going to identify me as a servant of the Most High. I need to see who is in my heart. We close this chapter with with Jesus showing us that our relationships with one another as brothers and sisters needs to be closer, tighter, greater than a blood brother who one follows the Lord and one does not. Doesn't the Lord say that by your love that you have one for another, you will be able to show who lives in you? What are our relationships like, dear ones? My dear brothers, my dear sisters, our relationships with one another must be greater than if I had a mother who is not a believer. I cannot be closer to her than I am to you. If I am, one of us don't know the Lord. We don't know him. He says it clearly in these closing verses here. Whosoever will do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. He identifies with those who are servants, who give themselves and their hearts in service to the Lord. And dear ones, we identify with one another in that way. What are our relationships like? Are they torn? Are they so fragile where they fall apart over a one look or word or thought? Where we feel belittled, where we feel so and so, and where are our relationships like? When Jesus says, by your relationships one with another, by the love that you have one for another. Is my heart empty and swept and garnished? I'm free of the sins that I used to do. I don't do them anymore. Is the love of Christ in my heart? Does he rule and control me? Guide me? Do I live for him? He says, when the spirit returns, he sees that it's empty. So he takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. The last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. He's speaking to those who think that they are serving God. This generation, this wicked generation, he calls them, scribes, Pharisees, those who were teachers of the law, those who were upholding the law. He says, you're a wicked generation. In Nineveh, a Gentile city will rise in judgment against you because they repented and you didn't. And so, dear ones, we consider our own hearts and lives through these chapters that we read. And we have to ask ourselves, where am I? Do we hold grudges? Do we have a disdain for one another? The Spirit of God does not rest in my heart if I do. Cannot. It's swept and garnished because I'm not actively sinning sins that I have already chosen to omit from my life. Brothers and sisters, one thing we have to realize, we don't need the Spirit in order to stop a sin, a physical act. We can stop a sin, but we can't stop our heart from sinning unless we are born again. Only God can do that in us. So let's not identify my faithfulness, my Christianity with, okay, let me look at my heart, my life, or what I do. Yeah, I'm good. Where's my heart? How do I react when I hear things? How do I react when I hear things that would befall perhaps another brother or sister? Is there ever a time in my heart like what filled the heart of Jonah? They deserve that. That city deserves to be destroyed. I think that all of us can, if we would pray to our Lord in the Spirit, consider who we are and what we've done. Is my blessedness the Lord Himself? Because, dear ones, that's what Apostle Paul identifies and says, that nothing can move me. Nothing can take away that which I have. So if our blessedness is on the physical, temporal things of this life, and yet the mighty spirits, as the hymn writer said, their blessedness is the Lord. He is their blessedness. Dear ones, joy and peace in our hearts can never be lost. Never. When He is my all. Do we need to mend our relationships one with another? Let's not do it in an act. Let's do it sincerely, genuinely, where we would never say something that would put my brother or sister in a bad light, or to cause them to be ridiculed or laughed or so on. So easily we can fall into this trap. Why did Adam and Eve sin? It has to come down to one thing. One thing which we believe that we'll never fall into that sin, because we feel we believe in Christ. We believe in Him. And the Bible tells us clearly, believe and you will be saved. I'm good. I believe in Christ. I don't sin. And so I can still sin a little bit here and there, because it's not a habit. And okay, it might be a habit for a week, a month, but I'm gonna get over it. I'll get past it. I'm just weak, and so on. No, we're empty. We're empty. Empty. And the evil spirit will come back with seven worse than us, worse than him, it says. What will ultimately be the fate of Israel? What will they ultimately do when they rebuild, when the temple is rebuilt? The Antichrist, it will be the focus of the world, will be worshipped there. And what are our hearts like? Dear ones, if they're swept and garnished, and our focus is on, I better not do this. Our focus doesn't have to be on, well, I really want to, but I probably, I better not, because it's not going to look good. Not going to look good to who? Me? To you? What about to our Lord? How's it look to Him? Why do I not care about Him? Well, if I say I believe, can we say that Adam and Eve didn't believe in God? They walked with him. They walked in the garden with him. Can we say they didn't believe? Well, they believed, but how'd they sin then? Because they didn't believe. They didn't have faith. They walked and talked with him, and they didn't have faith in him. Dear ones, when we sin, we are sinning because we don't have faith. If we had faith in him, we would never do that. I would never do something against you. I would be so careful not to hurt you, because the love of Christ has to come out of me towards you, and you would never be hurt at me, because I wouldn't do nothing to hurt you. Not because I'm careful. Oh, well, if I say this, no, love comes out. Now, if you choose to hate me and I choose to hate you, that's my choice. They hated Christ. What came out of him? Love, compassion, and mercy. And they hated him. Look, we see it here. We see it here. They hated him. And so, dear ones, as we read this, we have to consider in prayer, who are we? Can we identify with our faith? Not just believing that God is the one who came, he gave himself, the Son of God, he gave himself for us, and everyone's going to believe that. Whoever wants to, they can, oh, I believe that, yeah. And then take comfort. Yes, I believe, so I'm good. I just got to be, okay, I just fell this time, but next week I'm going to be better, and I'm just weak, and there's no such thing. Scripture never allows any of that. The Scripture, the words of Christ, we just need to read his words. We might be careful, oh, what should we say? And so, when we read the words of Christ, he wasn't careful. He spoke what the will of God is. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't try to make it sound easy. He said, consider the cost to follow me. You want to follow me? I don't have a place to lay my head. The birds have nests. The foxes have holes. I don't have a place to lay my head. You want to follow me? Take up your cross. I'm going to the cross. You want to follow me? Follow me. I'll empower you. All power is given unto me, and I am with you always. But dear ones, we have to then, as the angels, we have to really believe and feel that my blessedness is him. And in doing so, dear ones, we will refocus our lives completely in everything, you know, in relationships, in attitudes, in our living. We'll understand what modest living is. We'll understand what modest dress and behavior. You know, it's not just, we like to just maybe focus on modest dress and focus on a sister. You don't want to reveal too much and so on. But modesty is a lifestyle. It's everything. We'll understand it. When the love of Christ fills our hearts, but we're not empty, swept, and garnished. The love of Christ is in my heart. I'll know. When he is my blessedness, I'll know. We'll all know. And if we don't know, dear ones, it's maybe because we're empty. Maybe because we're careful to, the Pharisees were careful to sweep it out their hearts. Keep it clean. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Very careful to do that. But empty. Empty. So, dear ones, with prayerful hearts. If we seek him, we will find him. That's a promise from our Lord. If you seek me, you will find me. If you want to follow me, I will empower you. If you really believe on me, I will give you the strength to do that which I'm asking you to do. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. It doesn't have to be next month. It's now. I'll give you the power. Give your heart to me. Amen.